Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and picture the scene. A large, extravagant birthday banquet where only the top tier of guests are invited. Everyone is eating every good food you can imagine. Can you smell the lamb kebabs and the chicken shawarma? The figs and the pomegranates, the dates of every variety. There are piles upon piles of pita bread and hummus to go with. The olives are as big as your thumb, and they're the finest oils and wines. It's a never-ending stream being paraded around the crowd with no thought to what will happen to the leftovers or what will go to waste. And during all this, you watch Salome dance. And then comes the final dish, not one to eat, but simply one to cheer for. John the Baptist's head, silenced once and for all, regardless of what the crowd say, on a platter. You can open your eyes. That's the news that Jesus hears and is so moved by that he seeks a deserted place for himself at the beginning of today's gospel reading. His forerunner, his ally, his baptizer is dead. And he could easily be next. It's time to pray and to contemplate and to collect himself for the long journey ahead. But as he tries to seek a quiet place, a quiet moment, the crowds show up as he comes ashore. And he, of course, has compassion for them. Jesus heals the sick as they come to him in never-ending streams. And as the sun starts to go down, the disciples' tummies start to rumble. And they, not even knowing exactly what they're saying, suggest that Jesus send the people away to get something to eat. Not only are they in the middle of nowhere, with no towns close by, but you can guess by looking at these people that most of them probably don't have anything to buy food with, even if they could find it. You have to understand that restricting food and supplies was a way to maintain control in the Roman Empire. Poor and hungry, the people were dependent on Rome and the emperor, or at least on his officials in their country. And that's the way that the powers that be liked it. The poor got poorer and hungrier, while the rich got richer and more wasteful. In Jesus' day, people were hungry. But if you think about it, circumstances are not really all that much different today, even in our own country. Instead of Jesus and disciples standing in the wilderness, picture principals and teachers in low-income schools drained by their students' hunger, which causes them to not be able to pay attention and therefore low performance and bad behavior. These principals and teachers look forward to summer break, a reprieve from watching their students go hungry. But then they realize that at home all summer, the kids will now have absolutely nothing to eat. Once they're not getting the free breakfast or highly subsidized lunch that the school provides, these children have very little or nothing. Even if their parents and guardians did have money after rent and basic utilities to buy food, there are many times there's no access to grocery stores. No Kroger or Harris Teeter, definitely no Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. Sometimes not even an Aldi or a Lidl within walking distance. They live in what has come to be known as food deserts. It means that you live in a neighborhood where there is no actual grocery store within walking distance. And so either you have to take a very long bus ride or you have to have a car, which add up all those car expenses in your mind to buy, maintain, insure, and fuel. And these are people that barely have money for food. So they have the option to either spend all the leftover money for a car to get to a grocery store that they now don't have money for food, or to take hour-long bus rides to the grocery store, which is hard to fit in among multiple part-time jobs. So in these food deserts, many families, many kids end up buying the little ditter that they can at the corner convenience store. It's soda, chips, and candy. It's what these stores stock. It's what they can afford. There's no fresh, local, healthy food here. It's too expensive. It's too far away. This is not the reality for many of us in this country, but it is the reality for some. In our day and age, in our country, people are hungry. The disciples' response to this hunger is to send them away for them to help themselves. But Jesus knows that there's a better way. Jesus reminds the disciples that they are capable of feeding the hungry, even a crowd this large. You, he says, you give them something to eat. Jesus empowers the disciples to enact the kingdom of God, to provide and distribute the daily bread for which we pray, for which God provides, so that we can all eat and be filled. As we read this story of the feeding of the 5,000, many people focus on the miracle aspect. Is it more of a magic trick that Jesus physically was able to multiply all of this food? Or is the miracle just that he was able to inspire everybody to share the little bit that they had instead of hoard it for themselves? Ultimately, I hope that we cannot focus on the how, that we don't get caught up in arguing about what kind of miracle it was, but instead focus on the what. What actually happened? The immense magnitude of this event. The key words here are all and full. All ate and were filled. Full would not have been a normal feeling for most of the people gathered to hear Jesus teach and heal. They ate what they could when they could. But on this day, God's abundance provides not only enough for them to eat, but enough for them to be full, for all to be filled. In the Gospel of Matthew, miracles, as we call them, aren't really identified as such. Instead, they're called signs. There would have been others walking around that area of the world doing miraculous things. And so this multiplication of loaves and fishes is less about learning something about who Jesus is and more about what he's about. That is the kingdom of God. this event, this miracle, can serve as a reminder for us that there is enough food in the world so that no human needs skip a meal or go to bed hungry. The problem then, the problem now, remains distribution and access. And as much as Jesus said to the disciples, "You give them something to eat," Jesus says the same to us. We give them something to eat. That is our role as the body of Christ in the kingdom of God. God provides the daily bread, but it is up to us to be part of getting it where it needs to go. God is already working among us in so many ways to do just that. If you've ever been here on Monday mornings, you've seen the food, the abundance that is provided through our food pantry. So many in our community that wouldn't otherwise have bread to eat can come here without money and eat for no price. There's a Lutheran church in Blacksburg that has a ministry called Micah's Backpack. They focus on filling those gaps of weekend and summer lunches and food for kids that would otherwise be fed during school hours. Even our blessing bags that we packed a couple months ago help to fill that gap, get God's daily bread where it needs to be. God is already working among us to feed the world. There's also lots of other ways. We can be volunteers at various feeding programs, but we can also advocate through programs like Bread for the World or writing our elected officials directly. We can donate money, we can donate food. We can plant an extra row in our garden and donate the produce. There's lots of different ways that we can spread what God gives to us. God provides. We just get to be part of the distribution effort. God feeds us so that we can feed others, so that we are all filled, as it is intended in the kingdom of God. Amen.